Well, it's nice to be with the saints here again. It's a special privilege we have once in a while. I didn't necessarily plan on coming to preach, but I told the Lord last night, I said, well, if you want me to preach, then you can give me something. And at home we stay pretty hooked up, so I felt like I'll just let the Lord do. If he doesn't give me anything, I'm going to sit still. So this morning I woke up and the Lord started talking to me. So I want to share a few little things about the perfect Father. I'm not talking about myself. I've made too many mistakes to say I was the perfect Father. But my Father's perfect. He never made a mistake with me. And he had never let me down. He's never been short with me. He's never made a misjudgment with me. And I want to just talk about him a little bit this morning. I think it's a worthy thing for us to see our Father and to pattern our lives after him. I believe the Lord wants us to follow closely in that pattern. And I think if we'll do that, we too will be very blessed in our lives. It is that work of God in our hearts and lives that does the same thing to people that God's love did to us. And so I think about the scripture in 1 John 4, where it says, and 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you know that that's the perfect Father? God is love. It's the very definition of who God is. It's a part of everything about him. God is love. And I want to challenge us this morning that this is the perfect Father. This is the one that wants to put his love in us and perfect his love in us. And he says to be perfect as the Father is perfect. And he's following, talking about loving that. Maybe we'll read that here in a little bit. But I just want to think about the different scriptures that speaks of the attributes of God. Today's Father's Day. And the Lord just gave this, I believe, because he wanted us to think a little about these things. In Galatians 5 and 22, we find, you know, every person has a spirit about them, of kind of a characterization of them. Well, this is talking more of the fruits of the Spirit of God. But I just want to think about God being our Father, who he is, what he does in our lives. And I hope we all are strong desire, whether we're fathers or whether we're anybody, this is something we can profit by. The very attributes that make God the perfect Father is what he wants to perfect in us. And so we find in Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I don't think there's any place these things won't fit. Do you know that they fit even in correction? They fit even in strength. Is there anything weak about these things?
No.
Because someone is loving, because a father administers discipline in love, that doesn't make him weak, does it? Does it make him weak? It takes away his weakness. The weakness to strike out in anger is taken away by true love. And so we find that the very attributes of God and the very fruits of his Spirit in us. He wants that characterization of us. The things people see in our life, the things God sees in our heart and in our life. He wants it to be the characterization of His Spirit living in our life. And so when we read these, it seems like we read them so quickly. What did it take? A half a minute to read all of those slowly? And yet, He says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I want us to think a little bit about that here in a few minutes, a little more. You know, it's one thing to say the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's another thing that the fruit of the Spirit of God working in our life, in our situations, produces love in the things that we come into. The people that we deal with, the things that happen in our lives, that we deal with people always in love. That's what the Lord is looking for you and me, to become a faithful witness, a characterization of our Father, the attributes of our Father coming down through the genes into us, spiritual genes, spiritual life in us. You know, if we will emulate our Father, if we will idolize our Father, if we'll look to Him and let these things characterize our life, do you know that it will entirely revolutionize the way our family operates? Do you know that our children can respect that? Who cannot respect someone that is strong enough to discipline with love? That doesn't mean that you don't have the rod as and that means many different things. But it doesn't mean that we don't have strength to be the man that we are supposed to be. It just means that we aren't the man that's out of control. It means that we have, when we see the situations of life, that we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm feeling a little out of control right now. This is testing me. And I need You to give me love in this situation so that my children can respect me. We're a father, aren't we? Many of us here are fathers or will be. Do you know that the Lord wants there to be out of our lives the same character that God has to us? Wouldn't we be surprised if God lashed out at us and just took the hide off of us? Wouldn't we be surprised? Wouldn't we be shocked? Wouldn't we be disappointed? Do you know we're that way too? And the Lord is wanting in our lives, fathers, all of us can profit from these things. He's wanting to put within our life something that not only our children, but we ourselves can respect. There's something about self-respect that God wants there to be there. He doesn't want there to be these dark corners that, oh, I could never say anything because everybody knows, you know, when I get mad, what happens? You know, the Lord doesn't want there to be that kind of thing. Now, we may make mistakes. We may need to grow in grace. But the Lord wants to put within our life an overwhelming and true characterization of our Father. He wants that to be in our lives. And He will put that in our lives if we will let Him. It takes a real humbling of ourselves to allow that. And so it goes on, the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace. Where do these things come from anyway? We live in a world that if you flip the radio on for 5 minutes, back where we're from, for 5 minutes, you have already had all kinds of negative messages many times. That's true. Whether it's a song, whether it's what somebody has said, and we find that all the time. Did you know that the Father, the perfect Father, is a God that His very attributes are full of peace? When you come into His presence, you're not going to find strife. You're not going to find somebody that's all roiled and upset by all the things around Him. He's the perfect Father. And He wants us to be able to idolize that. Lord, I want Your attributes to live in my life. And so, as we look at these things, we recognize, where do these things come from? How could it be that we live in the world, but we're not of the world? And so this morning, I want to challenge all the fathers and the fathers-to-be. I want to tell you something this morning. There's something really wholesome and good about taking upon us the attributes of the perfect Father. And searching for those things and looking for those things. Not in a way that says, oh, I wasn't good enough there. And we constantly feel under condemnation. But in a search, in a longing, in a wishing, Lord, fill my life until I can be to my family what I want to be. I believe God has that for us this morning. And so we see the fruit of the Spirit is not only love and joy and peace and long suffering. You ever thought about what that means? It just simply means to suffer a long time with something. That's what it means. And so that's the attributes of the perfect Father. And that's what He wants to put in our life. And some of us are pretty quick sometimes. And the Lord wants to slow us down. Is it weakness? Is it weakness to suffer a long time with something when we know we could snuff it out? I remember one time somebody told me about this big fella, this big boy in school. All the others were picking on him and things, and he was like, it's amazing. He could just wipe them down with nothing, and yet he never strikes back. And he was telling me this. Do you know that there was strength there, wasn't there? That wasn't weakness in that young man. That was strength. And this morning, if we can look, I wanted to write there, but the board's not where everybody can see it. So you can turn it. Okay. I'm not very good at writing, but I'll try here. That's the best I can do, folks. The perfect Father is what we're talking about this morning. So when we find someone that has long suffering and gentleness, folks, that's something that we can respect. God help us this morning. The only way that we can have these things is to humble ourselves and to just tell the Lord, Lord, I have some needs. I need that. I need more of that. I didn't do very well right there. That's the only way we can find our help from God. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. I want to read in Matthew 5 and bring some of this down to where we really live. Matthew 5 and 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said. You know why he said that? Because as the world is, that's the way the Jews believed. They had been taught, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And sometimes the world teaches us that. But you know, that's not God's, that's not our Father's thoughts at all. And so, I've worked with people that were in trouble in situations, trouble in their soul or in trouble. And I find that sometimes they really think, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. Do you know that really doesn't matter? That's not what this says. He does say this. You've heard this. Maybe this is what your parents taught you. Maybe this is what we grew up thinking. We got to settle the score. There's millions of people out there in the name of religion. Muslims feel like they've got to do these things. Do you know, we've heard things in our past that sometimes we have to undo. And sometimes we have to realize that's not the truth. That's not the characterization of the perfect father, and it doesn't work. You know, we want to save, we want our children to be saved. We want to have effect on people's lives. I will tell you, it's through the strength of the Lord that people are touched, not by our brazenness. I've had a man tell me many times that he's a man's man. You know, I don't like that characterization because I don't think he's talking about the perfect father. And you know, that can be what we've heard. That can be what we think. And yet, we're looking at the Word this morning and asking God, Lord, teach me the ways of the perfect father. Because I already told you I wasn't the perfect father. I already know that. My children will tell you that. But you know what? I'm following one that was perfect. He's never made any misjudgments. And so the Lord help us to see our places and improve and seek the Lord when we need help in ways. We don't want to say, I'm perfect. And yet, maybe we don't love someone quite like we should. We have to realize, the Lord, this is a walk. We have to realize, I need help sometimes. Maybe I thought that's the way I was supposed to do it. But it wasn't. That makes us not quite like Him sometimes. And we have to say, Lord, I need You. I need You to show me who I am first, so I understand. And then I need You to help me to move into that place. And if we'll do that, I will tell you, saints, the Lord will, He'll work on us. The scripture says grow in grace. That's what it's talking about. Talking about growing in the Lord. Growing in His ways. Why should we say, no, I'm here, I'm perfect here, I don't need anything. You know, there is a perfection in the Lord. But I will tell you, we've got a lot of growing to do in our life. And so we want to do that. And we want to let the Lord work on us. I suppose you're like I am. In Matthew 5 and 43, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You know what? I've worked enough with people to know that they don't always understand this. And I want that to soak in this morning. Saints, if I'm going to preach the Word, I'm just want to preach it like it is. I want to preach the whole truth and the whole Word of God, even on these simple things like this. Do you know that it is easy for us to bless them that bless us? But it's not easy to bless those that curse us. That means to bless somebody is to do something. It means to impart some good toward them. Whether it's to bless them with your smile, your words of, hey, I'm praying for you, or give them a gift, or whatever. It means something. It means something, doesn't it? It means to bless them. And so this morning, when it says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, you know what He does? He sends His rain, and He doesn't stop at the saints' fields and go around all the others. He rains on all of them. He blesses all of them, even the guy that just got through cursing him. And they do that. They use His name in vain all the time. And if I was God, it seems like, Lord, they cause other people to do that then. And, you know, maybe it would be best to just not allow that. But you know what? The Father, the perfect Father, He just keeps showing His love to everybody, doesn't He? And so He allows that. And He tells us to follow that example of our Father and to love our enemies. And when we love somebody, it's more than a thought of the heart. It's an action. It's something. It's more than just, well, I love them. I just don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to them. I'm going to turn from them if I see them. And I found that it can happen. It can happen with good people that don't totally understand the nature of God. Do you know the Lord doesn't want us to do that? He wants us to overcome evil with good. He wants our love to be strong enough to overcome the evil and to walk not only in our side, but also on the other side, that we can, I want to make myself clear there. I don't mean we go in the evil places, but He wants us to shower everybody with our concern and with our love. And so He says here, do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Okay? I just wanted to choose one little word out of Malachi 2 and 15 and 16. It says there, it's not even talking about this, but it says, take heed to your spirit. Now this morning we're talking about the perfect Father. And we're looking at us. This is the mirror. What we're reading is the mirror. And so we read that. And it says, he that heareth, and then he goes and he forgets what he hears. He's like a fellow that looks in the mirror and then he goes and he forgets. You know what the Lord longs for us to do? To just be such a sponge that we soak up all that he sends. Lord, help me to be that kind of person. Folks, I really believe this will break down barriers that nothing else can in families. I suppose everybody everywhere is kind of the same. We all have the same sorts of battles, don't we? And so we see these things, you in your corner and me in mine. Folks, we have walls that have to come down. Family walls. Walls between people. Things the devil is forever trying to raise, those kind of things. And the Lord is looking for a few people to perfect in His love. That He might work through us. That He might teach us. And we sometimes don't comprehend it all. And then He sends a little more of His word. And then we still don't. So He sends us some trials. He sends us a magnifying glass. And He puts it right on us. And He says, I want you to move up here. I want you to give me a true reflection of my spirit in your life. Does the Lord do that? He does, doesn't He? He works with us. And God, He has a plan that is really just amazing if we will let it work in our lives and in our hearts. And God help us this morning. I didn't bring this for anybody or anything. I just woke up and the Lord started talking to me. So I'm just sharing with you. I didn't even plan to preach this morning. But folks, I just want to share the word of God. It is good. Fathers, be children of your heavenly Father, that we have the fruits of the Spirit working in our life. And that if we find ourselves short, we don't cover it with the idea that I'm perfect and I can't mess up. Folks, we need the Lord. We need Him to teach us all the time. Lord, show me your paths. Help me to understand your ways. Help me to understand the things I don't even know I don't understand. I think the Lord wants to do that for us today. And as we search for that, do you know He perfects our lives and we grow in grace and in strength and it makes a difference? I want to read a story here in a few minutes that really puts the spotlight on what can happen when we don't and how it works. I want to look over here. let's look in James 3 and 16. This is two or three scriptures that I think every one of us should put down somewhere in our mind or maybe on a plaque or whatever. To me, these scriptures are so important in our lives. If we would obey these scriptures, along with the fruits of the Spirit, and have those working in our lives, do you know what things it would solve for us? Do you know what many times husband and wife problems come from a lack of respect? They have a foundation underneath. I'm not talking about the little differences of, well, she wants to go here and I would like to go there. I'm talking about the deep, boiling, sores that live underneath the cancers that cause people to have divorces or silent divorces or things that the children later say, you know, I don't want anything to do with anything mom and dad had. That's possible, isn't it? That's the way things happen. But listen to what James 3 tells us. If we want to be a good father, folks, if we take heed to these things, I believe it'll go a long ways in our life. Now, it talks about in verse 15, we'll start there maybe. We'll start at 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, you know, if we have bitter strife and envying in our hearts, the scripture says, don't glory against the truth. Don't come up against the truth. Admit it. And let God purge it from our lives. Because there's no place for that in the life of a saint. And so it says, this wisdom of strife, this wisdom of bitter things, envying, it descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, it's of the flesh, and it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, listen to this, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not mixed. That's what pure is. It's not mixed. It's not mixed with our anger. It's not mixed with our jealousy. It's not mixed with our frustration or with our any of those things. The wisdom that is from above is pure wisdom. It wants the best for the situation. That's pure. It wants God's will. That's pure. That's unmixed. It's not mixed with my desires. And so we have to work at that, don't we? We have to stop. One time a brother told me, he was, anyway, the police drove up in front of his house and he said, I had to get control of myself. He said, sometimes we have to settle ourselves down, don't we? And it says here, it's first pure. It's not mixed with all of that. We have to stop. Sometimes we have to wait a while. Let me sleep on this thing. You know, and in the morning, we may think completely different, right? Have you ever done that? I have. And in the morning, it's like, I don't know what I was thinking. But I guess it was mixed with some of my emotions or something. That would have been a bad decision to make. So the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable. Can we be peaceable when there's conflict? Or do we have to lose control? I'm going to stay with the scripture. And a lot of times I look at this and I think back to this when things come up. Now James 3 says, and I think back to this. It says it's peaceable and it's gentle. Do you know that I really believe that's where a lot of families lose respect? Because people, there's nothing worse than, it's bad enough to not be peaceable or to not be gentle. But folks, we have a high claim as saints of God, as holy people, and rightly we should, because we should be holy. We must be holy. But do you know that if we're not gentle and we're not peaceable, then the best thing we can do is say to our spouse or our children, I wasn't gentle. I'm sorry. I want you to help me. I want you to pray for me. I need prayer. And what that does is, now then, the wisdom that's from the world above, that's sensual and carnal and devilish and all those things, see, it's blaming. It's everything's somebody else and anger toward. But this is wisdom from above. This is how you get the thing rooted out. This is how you drop the real bomb on the devil, by being strong enough to have a gentle, peaceable spirit. And it goes on to say, easy to be entreated. I think that just simply means, folks, that people can talk to us easy. That means they can come up and talk to us easily about anything. They can entreat us. They can say, you know, Dad, we're talking about fathers today a little bit. They can come up and say, Dad, I don't think that was right. And the first thing in our mind is, what do you mean? Dad, that wasn't right. I don't think you're right there. Do you know that we need to be able, I believe the Lord in His Word tells us this is an attribute we need to have, that people can speak to us. And do you know that when people can speak to us, it breaks the walls down? It really does. There's nothing, and I say this many times, I believe the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but, folks, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I believe the two mightiest weapons in the arsenal that we find are the weapons, I mean, besides prayer and talking with God, are the weapons of love and humility. And when we mix those things, those are the only two things that can pull down walls that are thick, are been there for a long time, and all those things. There's just something about love and humility that will just blast the foundations out of the enemy's workings. It's the only thing that'll do that many times. It's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Do you know that hypocrisy causes people? It causes those that we love the most, the ones that the Scripture says, lest your prayers be hindered. You know, the Scripture tells us that our prayers can be hindered. We can be praying earnestly every day for something and just be knocking the legs out from under any possibility of that happening. We can be, by being partial or having a little hypocrisy, instead of admitting, you know what, part of this is my fault, and I need you to pray for me. Would a strong father ever say that? Would a strong father ever admit that he needs help? I believe so. And if we want the respect of people, they know it, and you know it, and I know it, and everybody knows, everybody has some weaknesses sometimes. And our best efforts is to just be real with people. And I hope I'm not coming across as leaving place for the flesh here this morning, folks. I don't believe in that. I don't think we should live sloppy lives. If we do, we need to be praying. We need to be praying together. We need to be humbling ourselves in fasting and prayer until the Lord moves upon our life. And we can become after the Father's image. And I believe the Lord wants that to be. You know, Jesus, another place, I guess we're already moving on with time here. John 13 and, 17 maybe? We find Jesus saying, you call me Master and Lord. Now, he was washing feet here. So after verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. You know, he is part of the Godhead. He is part of God himself. And he says, you're right. You called me Master and Lord. Now let's look at the perfect Father. Let's look at who he is. He says here, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Shouldn't we serve our families? Shouldn't we serve the saints? Shouldn't we serve people? Shouldn't we serve our enemies? There's something awesome about the power of those things to make the gospel attractive to other people. And God help us this morning that our lives can be something that others long to be like. I believe the Lord wants it to be that way. Shouldn't it be that way? Couldn't it be that way? I think so. And so he says here, for I have given you an example. I'll give you an example. You want an example of who God is? Here we go. I'm going to wash your feet. Is there any lowlier job than that? Than to wash the feet? That's getting pretty way far down there. It's a dirty job. It's the servant's job. It's certainly not the master's job. But Jesus said, I've given you an example. Do you know that when we live our lives like this, there is something so attractive about that kind of life? We're not talking about a life that has no strength to it. We're talking about a life that has enough strength to it to help change other people's desires in life. And so, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. We're not greater than him, are we? Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Folks, you know what makes us happy about these things? When we realize the value of these kind of attributes of God, and we realize that, it'll stop all the ideas of just feeling under this crush of condemnation, and our heart will start longing and our feet will start running toward those things. Lord, I want to be more humble. Lord, I want to be approachable. I want to be like you. I want you to make those changes in me that need to be made. And as we long for those things and search for those things, I will tell you, God is faithful. He's faithful to make those changes. He tells us in Mark, the 10th chapter, that, you know, the world, let me turn to that, Mark 10, in 42, he said, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. We were sharing this with a man that is from, he's actually from a Mennonite type of group, and I don't know, you know, he wasn't raised that way. I don't know how they teach about these things totally. But in his mind, he always had this idea of being the chief, the head, the ruler. And as a result of many errors that I noticed in his life, because they would come crying, What can we do? Well, I will tell you, there's some underlying ideas and thoughts that aren't biblical that he was living by. And he was the top dog. Do you know that his children started rebelling as a result? Do you know he started getting a hold of this idea? Jesus wasn't just talking to the men of the church. In positions in the church. He was talking as a whole. He was talking about an idea here. He was talking about something that he wanted us to have in our hearts and minds, that those that, you know, we know as fathers that we're in a very responsible place. We know our families are subject in some ways to us, and the Lord wants it to be that way to a degree. He wants us to work with one another, folks. He doesn't want this idea of top dog, you're under me, I'm going to, you know, all of these things. The Lord really wants us to be a servant. That's His idea, to be a servant. We help. We're helping everybody up a step. Somehow, can I help you? Can I help you up? Your load's heavy. I'll help bear it a little bit. And I'll tell you, I've got room to grow in this way. I want to be a little more, I want to keep growing in these things, to be a help in every situation I can be. Do you know, I believe that when we live like this, I'll tell you what it'll do. It will help those ones up a step, and it'll help them to want to go up even more steps. These kind of ideas, as we humble ourselves to one another and learn, Jesus said, learn of me. And as we learn of the Lord, He's meek and lowly in heart, and He gives rest to our souls. Many times we fight battles, and I watched this man I was talking about, fighting his battles, fighting to keep his family under his thumb, fighting, they don't obey me, and all these things. Do you know that there is a way to make them want to obey you? There is a way to make them want to. And that's what God wants to do. That's what He wants us to do to Him. He doesn't make us obey Him. He wants us to want to obey Him. But I will tell you, if you get to know God, who wouldn't want to obey Him? His ways are only right. His ways are perfect. They cannot be improved upon. And I've never seen Him make an error. Why wouldn't we want to follow Him? And I believe if we'll follow the Lord, I believe it will work for us too. If you'll pardon me for running a little bit long here. 1 Peter 3 and 4. I just want to read a few verses here. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You know, this is of great price in the sight of God. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. What a deal. So Sarah called Abraham Lord. I haven't got there yet. But do you know this morning, it doesn't say Abraham told Sarah to call him Lord, does it? But do you know how much respect Sarah had for Abraham? She wanted to follow him. We find here, it says, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you know this morning, we're talking about the perfect Father. What has this scripture got to do with the Father? I'll tell you what it has to do. This idea of having a meek and a quiet spirit is not just for the ladies. Do we believe that? It's in the sight of God of great price. And we could bring out many scriptures proving that point this morning. But the Lord wants you and I to have a meek and a quiet spirit. Fathers, men, sisters, ladies, let's have a meek and a quiet spirit. Something that it is not weak, it is strong. And if we want our prayers, even God pays attention to that, because He says our prayers can be hindered by not being that way, doesn't He? Our prayers can be hindered. I used to think, well, God doesn't quite hear our prayers the same. Well, you know what? Maybe God does hear our prayers. But maybe we make it impossible by our own actions for our prayers to be answered. You know when a child is angry at his father and he feels angry, he can't talk to him, he can't please him, he feels like he's upset at him. You know what? Maybe the child is wrong 90%. But if the father is being such a way that makes that to happen, we can pray all we want. But until we humble ourselves and say, son, I want you to talk to me. I want to hear you. Is that weakness? Should that ever be done for a father to say to his son or daughter, I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me where I'm missing it. You know, and maybe we're not the ones really missing most of it. But you know what it does is it begins to break something down. God planned us to be this way because it's His way. It's His plan. And it works so well. And the Lord help us this morning that we can be that way. I wanted to read one scripture otherwise here. 1 Samuel 25:14. First Samuel 25. There was a man. His name was Nabal. It says, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Have you ever seen someone like that? I've seen people like that, and I've seen people on every scale between that and what they ought to be. And do you know that he says here, this man is such a son of the devil. Okay? Now, we are talking about being a son of the perfect father. This man, his servant said, he said, no one can even talk to this man. That was his, and he said, he's just such a son of Belial. There isn't any, you can't even talk to him. And it made David's men mad. And then he goes on to say, you know, he said, evil is determined against our master. We've got problems coming our way because of this. And you know, Abigail, she was a wise woman, says she made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Now what kind of relationship is this? She does all of this and doesn't even tell her husband. There's something badly wrong, wasn't there? God himself didn't. He took this man's life. A few days later, this man was gone. But you know, this woman, in her wisdom, the kind of wisdom we read about in James 3, in her wisdom she went and she was peaceable and she made peace with David. And she kept them from coming and killing her husband and shedding blood. And so we see here this morning, that's just kind of a little contrast. It's a contrast between the son of the enemy and the son of the father. And so this morning, we want to be children of our father, which is in heaven. And that's what the Lord tells us to be. First Peter 5:5 tells us to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's hard to humble ourselves sometimes, but folks, that's where the good stuff is. And I just want to challenge us this morning. If we want to break down walls, if we want to see things grow, we want to see what we value most, what we need most, relationships with our children and with people, help for people. We long for help for people. Well, you know, the Lord, I believe, wants us to humble ourselves. Be willing to love our enemies. Be willing to cross the barriers and help our enemies and be with them and watch after them. You know, there's many scriptures about meekness in the Bible. There, it tells us that the meek shall what? Inherit the earth. Do you know what that's speaking of? Not this world. It's speaking of the promises of God. The old covenant Jews, their promises were that they would inherit the promised land, the land that God was to give them. And I believe that's what God's talking about here. He's speaking of us inheriting the promises of God to you and me. And so meekness is really what we've been talking about this morning. The perfect Father, He said, come unto me. He said, I'm meek and lowly. And He said, I'll give you rest unto your souls. This morning, I'm challenged. I long. Lord, teach me your ways and show me your paths and lead me in the paths of life everlasting. As we hunger for those things, folks, He will make into our lives something that will be a blessing. It'll be a blessing in our homes, in our congregations, and in our work, every place that we are, in our marriages. The Lord will make it that way. So the Lord help me too. Y'all pray for us.